want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shouting in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
I'm so glad that we can desire to look to see him and he can be seen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And no, I'm not going to sing. Everybody's waiting. But thank you. We appreciate the Lord and all of his blessings on us. And good to be gathered with God's people tonight. And y'all just pray for me. And we all need prayer. And just appreciate the Lord that, you know, I was reading and texting a brother, and it's so amazing how you have people in third world countries or underdeveloped countries, and you see the kind of life that they live and what they have to go through. And what touched my heart was here's these people, and you know we're blessed here. I mean, and they're trying to eke out a living. But the believers in Ukraine are the only people that's on their heart. I mean, they pray for them constantly. And it's just amazing that, you know, you think, you know, just trying to make a living every day is a battle. But, you know, as a body of Christ, you know, we're all one. And it's just so amazing that you know, that they say, well, we're praying for the believers in the Ukraine. And we just pray for them and know what's going on there. And it's like, man, that's, you know, sometimes we get too wrapped up into things in our own daily life. Sometimes the devil gets us too busy on, kind of blinds us from the things. And, you know, sometimes when you don't have a lot of things that hold your attention, you think about the things of God. And it just really touched my heart. I just think that, you know, God has believers all around, no matter what situations are, what conditions are, you know, they're praying for you. And our brother Ted from Nepal, he listens to some of the sermons and everything. And I don't get a text message or a Facebook message from him. And he's not asking, you know, it's always asking, how's Brother Dale? How's Sister Peggy? And so he always wants to know different ones in the church and things. So he listens and he certainly prays, and it's just wonderful to know that brothers and sisters all around the world think of you, and they want you to know that they're a part of you through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all one in the same body. And there was a sister there, Brother Ted texted me this morning, and there was a sister that we prayed for, Sister Amrita, and she had a real bad case of breast cancer, and she passed away this morning. So y'all just remember the family and the church there. And I told Brother Tej we certainly will be remembering them in prayer. And but you know, the good thing is she got her healing. So she don't have to worry about no pain, no sickness, none of those things anymore. She's at perfect rest. So, amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to look into the scripture, and I won't keep you standing too long. We're going to look in Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 1 and read a few verses there, and then I'll let you have your seats. Before we read the scripture, let's just all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be in your house again. Lord, to feel your presence. Lord, to know that wherever you said, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're there in the midst. And Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that you just come on the scene and help us get ourselves out of the way. Lord, that you can come and speak to us. Lord, that you give us what we have need of tonight. Bless each one that's here in the building, Lord, each need, Lord, the ones that are not here. Father, the ones that are listening in, that'll be listening in later, Lord, I just pray that you'll be with them, minister to them in a special way. Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord, we just, so many of the needs, Lord, that need those that need a physical touch, Lord, a spiritual touch, whatever the needs are, Lord, we know that you're mindful, and before we even ask, Lord, you said you already made a way, and Lord, you already answered. But Lord, you said for us to ask that our joy might be full. So Lord, we commit these things to you. Lord, knowing the use that you said that you sent your word and you healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And we believe that. Lord, we put our faith in that. We have our confidence in that. And Father, we just pray tonight, Lord, that whatever said and done will be for your honor and glory. Bless your bride around the world, Lord, those Lord, the fivefold ministry, Lord, those that are, Lord, standing for this word, Lord, that are ministering and pressing the battle. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that it touches our heart, Lord, when we see our brothers and sisters, Lord, on the all around the world, Lord. They think of us and they pray for us and you know, they reach out and uphold us. And Lord, we do the same thing for them, Lord, that you just come and bless them and touch them. Lord, just have your hand of protection upon them. Lord, all the believers in the Ukraine and the different places, Lord. Lord, there's a battle, but you said that you sent your angels. And Lord, they would encamp around those that fear you, and we know that you do that. Lord, we've seen you come on the scene and work in mighty ways. And Lord, your hand's not too short. Lord, you're not too tired. But Lord, you come and do whatever is asked of you. Lord, if we would just ask and believe. Lord, we commit all things to you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And Hebrews chapter 1, let's go up there. Somebody's got the scripture mixed up there. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 1, very familiar scripture. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, that he had by himself purged our sins, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And I wanted to take a little thought called expression of the attributes of God. And Brother Brown, this is quote number one. Brother Brown says, in Christ, the mystery of God. He said, now God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had made a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Because first, there wasn't even a moon, star, atom, molecule, or anything. He was God. But he exactly wasn't God at that time, because God is an object of worship and there wasn't nothing to worship him. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed. And in him was love. In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. In him was to be Savior. In him was to be Healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. And so, the quote number two here is the word expression. And the definition here, the definition of the word expression, I want to lay this out. It says, the process of making one's own thoughts or feelings known, making known one's thoughts or feelings, a look of on someone's face that conveys a particular emotion, a word or phrase, especially an idiomatic one, used to convey an idea, an act, process, or means by putting something into words. So I want to look at something tonight about being about the expression of the attributes of God. And, you know, it's so amazing sometimes when you read the scripture, you know, it's so amazing when you see where you came from and to where you are. You know, when you begin to read here in Ephesians chapter 1, it's so amazing. And you know the song says there's no other word for grace but amazing. When you begin to see here, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we know that the heavenly places is a position that the believer has in Christ. And we know that, you know, that goes back to what Brother Wade's been preaching on adoption, having a position that God has placed you, and you have a position to come to in Christ. And he's blessed us to come to that place. You're blessed to be in the place that you are today. If you're in Christ, then you're an overcomer. So you've been blessed to come to this place. But you know, there's a greater place to come to. And you know, that's the blessings of God. And it says, according as he hath chosen us in him. You know, I'm so glad he chose me. You know, he made a way for me to come. In the great mind of God, he knew the plan of salvation, that he would choose me, that he knew that if he brought the word in, that I would receive it. That I was always a part of him. Yeah. Yeah. And, as Brother Bram said, he said, if you receive eternal life, you always were eternal. You were always in the mind of God. You were always a part of Him. And so we were a part of Him, that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You know, there was a place that God called us to be overcomers before the foundation of the world. God saw you as an overcomer before the foundation of the world. God saw what you would be before the foundation of the world. And your faults and failures and your sins and your shortcomings, He still knew that you had overcome. And God looked down through time to see, and here knew that you would be in Laodicea in this spiritual wicked time, but He knew that you'd be an overcomer. And so sometimes when we see these things, to realize who we are. Because you can't, sometimes you just can't put into words what that means. It means, because I get stirred up sometimes because, we get so blinded to the things of what God is trying to convey to us or what God wants to tell us, but to see who we really are, what God has blessed us to. Who am I that he would leave the throne of glory to all of His glory and splendor, but He would come and condescend to me. Amen. And if there was nobody else to be saved, He would come and He would do all of that to save me. It's a glorious thing to know what God thinks of you. Brother Branham was talking about, he said, if I had the literal blood of Jesus Christ, how I would, watch over and protect it. And, He'd be so careful with it. But he said, it's more that the purchased possession of that blood is you and I. We are the purchased possession of that blood. So if we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we've been bought by a price, then how much greater does He think of you and I than He did of His own life? Because he came and He exchanged His life for yours. When you go to the store and you take money into a store to buy something, and you walk in there and you see something, then you value what that item that you go in there and buy, you value that more than your money. So you have a value. So you put a value to that. So whatever you longed for, whatever you desire, you put a value on that, and you say that is more valuable. That means more to me than what I have. So He did, because He came to give His life for yours. To know what would take place, that He would come and pay the price for you and I. And how wonderful that is to realize what He thinks of you and I. Amen. He said, according to us, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So He called us to adoption. So not just to become a child of God, but there's a place to come to. So it's not just, because we don't just want to have our children be our children, but we want children to grow up, and we want them to come to maturity, and we want them to express these things that are right and proper. So when He come, it wasn't that He just gave us eternal life, but He called us to adoption. But He made a way for us to come to the stature of fullness of Christ, that we can manifest Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To make Jesus Christ known. Hallelujah, brother. He said that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I'm so glad, because whatever our sins are, whatever our shortcomings, there's still a greater blood. There's still a greater covering for all that. No matter what your sins are, though they be scarlet, no matter what is, there's still a way. God's made, because the sea of God's forgetfulness is greater than all of that. Greater than all my sins, greater than all of my pain, greater than anything, He's greater than that. He's greater than all that I'll ever face. Why, he said, who can separate me from the love of God, Paul said. He said, can death, can nakedness, can famine, can all these things? Is there anything in the world? No, there's nothing. The devil will try to separate you, but you know what? He's a failure. He's always going to fail. But you know what? He will try. But you know what? There's no way he's going to be able to separate you.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because you've been engraved in the palms of his hands. There's no way that he's going to lose you. He said, I've called my own. And he said, no one can pluck them from my hands. Well, that's what God has called us to. When we see ourselves in the Word, when we see ourselves, we realize how short below our standard we live. We understand who we are. But you know what? He's still there leading us. He's still guiding us. He still loves us. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. See, I didn't have to be accepted. I was accepted in him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Amen. He made known to us the mystery of his will. And I read Christ the mystery there. Brother Bram's talking about the secret mystery that God had. That he had a purpose in that secret mystery. You know, and I don't want it to sound funny, but it may sound funny, but you know, some people when you know, if you understand what a secret is, you know, if I had something and nobody knew about it, and I told Brother Boyd, then you know what, Brother Boyd and I have a secret. But you know what, it would be a secret to the rest of you. So when we say we have a secret, well, really, me and Brother Boyd know about it, but y'all don't. That's the secret. That's the reason in Hebrews, or Amos 3:7, he said that he would reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. See, he was making known that secret by the unfolding of the word was coming through the prophets. As they were building the body, the ministry that they had, that was the secret that was being made known. But then in the last time, it would become a mystery. Why? Because as it begins to unfold, then it becomes a mysterious thing. Now, you know, and I know some people don't. You hate, but some people, if you listen to them, sometimes you wonder if they think that Brother Branham come to, it's like, well, you know what? I was in denominations, or I was in the world or wherever, and Brother Branham come and he preached, and he come to preach to make us more confused than we were in organized religion, and that was the mystery. He's like, he come to confuse us. And it's like, well, and it's like, no. You got to understand. He said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. I want you to catch it. He wanted us to make known unto us the mystery. Amen. Well, what is the finishing of a mystery? Is a revelation. So when you have a mystery, see, it had to become a secret first. Because if you've never seen anything, if you've never heard of anything, then it's a secret to you because you don't know it exists. Just when you know, if you go to school and they talk about certain things, and you know, they start teaching you things. Well, if you don't know anything about it, guess what? It's all a mystery to you. Just like when Lewis and Clark went on their expedition and they had a black man in the group, and the Indians, when Lewis and Clark went to the Indians, they had never seen a black man before. They didn't even know, and they were so mysterious. I mean, it was so mesmerized by this man that they were, you know, just gingerly walking up to this man, looking at him. Said they tried to rub the black off of him. Why, they'd never seen one before. But so, and it's the same way with us. You know, and when God begins to unfold things, it becomes a mysterious thing. Just, you know, when the first time that, unless you always knew something, well, the first time, if you grew up in a Trinitarian background, Trinitarian church, the first time somebody got up and preached on water baptism in Jesus' name in Acts 2:38, and you might have read the Bible up 10 times, you might have got a bunch of gold stars at church, but you know, when you read Acts 2:38, it didn't mean anything to you. You'd read over and just skimmed right over it. And all of a sudden, when somebody comes in and says, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. And then all of a sudden, it catches your attention. And it's like, are we baptizing right? Then all of a sudden, then it becomes a mystery. Why? Because it wasn't hid. It's always in black and white. It's always been in the Bible. Somebody had a piece of paper over in your Bible, and when they just peeled it off, oh, there it is. Amen. No, it was always there, but through God's grace, He opened your eyes to that. And then all of a sudden, people's like, well, you know. Then they begin to think, well, is that right? Then it becomes a mystery. Was it, why are they always reading Matthew 28:19, and why is Acts 2:38? And then it's all like. Then all of a sudden you realize, hey, you know what? Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38, it's the same scripture. Yeah. Yeah. But they don't see that. Yeah. And all of a sudden, no, we got to take this scripture, not that scripture. No, they dovetail. Amen. It's like, well, you know, because then that was a scripture that Peter had on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell. And the Holy Ghost started leading Peter, and he began to speak, and they took that scripture, and he said, and this promise is unto you and your children, to them that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, I guess if God calls me, I guess I need to take that scripture. I guess He's calling me. I guess that's the scripture that belongs to me. But then some people say, well, no. Well, our church believes this. Our church believes this. Well, that's the way I was baptized. And they stay right where they're at. And so then they turn the word down. Because God's showing them what the truth is. To show there's what God has made known. So He's making known the mystery of His will, which is His word. And it's a continue, and it's not just one thing, but it's a continuation to realize who you are and who He is. And what God has called us to. He said that in the dispensation of the fullness times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, now, everybody likes the word inheritance. We got something now, see? God being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So He didn't come to give us an inheritance. He came to bring us back to our inheritance. Why? Because we see that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He had a place, so He's taking us back to where we came from. Us to see who we really are, where we came from. Not just living in these three dimensions. But God has something greater for us to know where we came from. And this is just these things are temporal and all these things, but there's something that's eternal. There's a place to go to that's eternal. He said, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I'm so glad that I know the truth. and I've heard the truth. And, you know, and so many times you hear so many people, and, you know, they talk about having a seed. We already had a seed of representation of predestination. But, you know, Paul said we had to hear the word. You had to have the seed sown. And the seed comes through the body, and the word came, and then we held on to that word, and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. So it was an overcoming for us that we held on, but we believed what God said. And he came and he spoke to us, and he made known us the mystery of his will. He made known his word to us, and we believed and we held on to that, and we were sealed by that Holy Spirit, because that was the promise of Acts 2. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So we know that we have this inheritance. God has called us to this. This is what God wants us to have. And God has it. Brother Ram said he had that great mystery secret that he had before the world began, and he wanted to express himself. He said he had attributes that he wanted to be expressed. And so he set up a plan. You know, that he set up a plan that would bring to pass all of these attributes. You know, he set everything in motion. You know, he set Adam and Eve in the garden and everything, that set up everything, that they had free moral agency, that they could do whatever they wanted to. He knew what would take place. But thank God that he knew what was going to take place. And, you know, you never catch God out of... So by surprise, he never was worried about anything. Why? Because he already had a plan. He already had a purpose. He had already had a way made. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world that would all take care of all of that. So all of that was taken care of. We didn't have to worry about any of that because God had a way made. And so when all of that was going on, it wasn't that God had to worry about or try to figure out, as some people talk about, you know, well, Adam and Eve fell and God had to send his son. No, his son had already came and stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before there was ever a molecule or an atom, before there was anything, before it was in the eternal thoughts of God, the lamb was already slain. He knew what would take place and it was already made. Well, sometimes, you know, people, you know, as Brother Branham said, could you imagine a 4-foot pipe, all the water in the world in a 4-foot pipe, and the pressure that's in that pipe, and God on one side of it trying to give you the Holy Ghost, trying to deal with you and trying to bless you, and you stand there and go, Lord, will you help me? Lord, would you give me the Holy Ghost? He's trying to give it to you, but the problem is we can't get ourselves out of the way. We can't get to the place where we can die out. Lord, help my unbelief that I can get out of the way, that you can bless me. Why? Because you said it was for me. And so the problem is if God doesn't change, and he's done it before, and he keeps on doing it, and he keeps on making the promise, then the problem is not with God. Then the problem is with me. It's my problem. That I got to get myself out of the way. I got to get myself on the altar and die out. All 300 pounds. Got a lot of dying out to do. But there's a lot. But you know, if we can just commit to God and we can submit to God and put our faith in that, God can do the work. Many times everybody, you know, sometimes we get so worked up and we're trying to do do's and don'ts and you know, we're so afraid to walk around on eggshells and stuff. And it's like, you know, the main thing is if you can pray through to God, let God talk to you. You know, it's so amazing when people talk about praying, lots of times it's, I'm praying, I'm doing the talking, and then when I get done, I say amen and that's it. It's like you pick up the phone and you talk to somebody. Okay, bye. That's all you get. Why? Because they do all the talking. Now, some people think that's me, but that's not. There's been several people I've talked to on the phone, and I go, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then other times it's mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Wait until you that. Talk to him on the phone, fall asleep. snore in his ear. Wake up! I've heard that lots. Not just behind the pulpit. I've actually heard it on my phone. But you know, God has a desire for us that he wants us to reach out and come to this place that God can bless us and give us what we have need of. Here in Hebrews, and I don't know how far I'm going to get with this tonight, but I just want to share a few things. But here in Hebrews, and understanding who we are and what God has for us and what he wants us to have, us to see who we are. And he said, God, in who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the unto the fathers by the prophets. As we were speaking earlier, the prophets began to speak. He revealed his secret through the prophets. He said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, in whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his word, when he had purged, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And I want to look at this phrase, and some of y'all may remember me preaching a message a number of years ago on the essence of God. And when you take the first phrase here, express image, one of the translations of this is the expression of the essence of God. And so, you know, many times you can see where they say, they'll say it's the representation of the essence of God, or it's the expression of who God is. But you know, I like that. I like that where he's the translation where it says he's the expression of the essence of God. And you know, if you look at, if some of you may remember me preaching on that, and when I talked about what the essence of something is, and the essence of something is the set of attributes or characteristics or qualities of something that makes it what it is. Without those qualities or characteristics, it's not what it is. It has to have each one of those to be what it is. And it has it, and the definition says it has it by necessity. So it's necessary for him to have this object or substance or whatever. It has to have all of these qualities to be that. And so when it has all of these qualities, then it says it's by necessity. So it must have them, but it says it's not by accident. He has all these qualities. Or this subject. And you know, we talked about like a chair, and you know, you look at a chair, and the chair has a seat, it has a back, and it has four legs on it. But you know, if you're talking about a wood chair, well, none of these chairs would count, because you know, Brother Dale's always said, if you start with a white dog in Genesis, you better end up with a white dog in Revelation. And whatever he started, whatever was in the mind of God in the beginning, that's what's supposed to be in the end. That's he doesn't change it, because Brother Brown said he doesn't change in essence or behavior. So whatever he started with, that's what he's going to end up with. So when you look at a chair, when you look at that chair, when you see that object, then you know what characteristics it has, because you know what a chair is. But when we talk about, we're just talking about something to sit on. Well, not necessarily, because if it doesn't have the characteristics, well, sure, you can sit on it, but it's not what the original word was. Now that we got something that's made out of wood over here. It's this piano bench. Well, it's made out of wood, but you know what? It doesn't have a back to it, so it's lacking. Now these all, and I don't know. There may be some wood inside after cut the cushion off of it. But you know what? That's not what the original word was. So when we look at, and you know, there's the drum seat over there. Well, you know, it has different characteristics, but it's not exactly what the original word was. So if you don't have what the original word was, if you don't have the original characteristics, then it's not what was the original. And so you have to have the what those characteristics are, those attributes that God has. Then he had each one of those, and that's what made him God. Because if he didn't, just like he said, Satan couldn't be a creator, but God could be a creator, and he was, and Satan was just like God, except he couldn't create. So, you know, no matter how much Satan said that I will be like the Most High and I'm going to lift myself up, you know what? He'll never be able to take that place. Why? Because he does not have all of the attributes that God has. He cannot. So he'll never take that place, but he'll try. But when God has all these attributes, just like when you speak of a chair or something, all of those attributes, then that, whatever the attributes that God has, that's what he wanted to express. Now he could express, he could have had children and been a father. And it would have been wonderful that he would have had the children of God, but he wouldn't have been able to express all of his attributes. So he had a plan and a purpose that he wanted to express all of the attributes that were inside of him. He wanted to manifest everything. And so when he began to express, then through a fall, then he can be a savior. That he can be a healer. And then not only just have the children of God, but then he can give eternal life to the foolish virgins. He can give it to those that are good to the bride. There's other groups that he can give the eternal life to, that he wouldn't have that opportunity if it was just straightforward. Hey, I'm just going to have children. But there was a plan that, so we can see that he is able to expand himself. And he's been able to show more of himself. To show that, the greater attributes that he has. And you know, because Brother Ram said that the greatest attribute, that, you know, the essence of God is love. And you know, I was talking to a man the other day, and he belongs to a certain group, and you know, they don't believe that. They believe that the Jews are done and over with, and you know, God put away the Jews and that was it, and they're done and they don't worry about it. But you know, the 144,000 are a bunch of Gentiles that they're going to be called in, and he was talking to me about, and I never heard anybody say such stuff. And you know, you just try to talk to people and they want to talk, and I just try to help them. But you know, it's like, well, what part of the Bible in Revelation, when he said there was 144,000, he called 12,000 out of each tribe, and he called them by name, what part of that don't you understand? I mean, when you go back into Scripture and you look at Daniel 9 and you start laying out the plan that there's a message, and when you talk about the two witnesses that are coming, there's got to be, and the Scripture tells us that the bride leaves. There's the Gentiles' days are over with, and there's a rapture. And the word's got to go back to them. It's like, okay, well then it's like, well please explain to me how this works. And he said, well, you don't understand the two witnesses. And I was like, well, I think I probably got a better idea who they are than you do. But, you know, it's interesting that to hear people talking, it's like, well, you need to understand what this means, and you got to understand what that means. Like, what you want me to do is listen to what your doctrine is on what the Bible says, not what the Bible says, but we're going to look at your doctrine. And many times that's the way people are. They want you to listen to what they say it is, not what the Word of God says. And so, you know, I don't get to talk to him very often, you know, just every now and then. But I just go by and I just try to give him a word here, word there, and I like to hear what he has to say, because it's interesting to hear what other people believe, and then you just try to sow a little seed here or there. Now, Brother Bram says here, Sir, We Would See Jesus, 1964. He said, in the beginning, God was not even God. He was the great eternal, and in there was attributes. Attributes was his thoughts. And then he become a word like this, and a word expressed. He said, well, a thought expressed is a word. A word expressed is a thought. And then remember, he said, if you ever was in God's thinking, you'll always be there. If you've got eternal life, you are the expression or the attribute of his thought for this age. If not, there is only one eternal life, and it always existed. And you in his mind existed before there was a world. That's the reason he said he chose you before the foundation of the world. It isn't what we think, what somebody else thinks. It's what God, eternal, you always was, see, in his thinking. And he said it was in him to be a man, to be man. That's the reason Christ was the expressed image. So he was the expression of the essence of God. See, now he was to be Father. He was to be Son. He was to be Savior. He was to be Healer. There was nothing. There wasn't even an angel or nothing. Then he created angels. Then he became God. He was worshipped. Then these are the manifestations of his thinking. There is nothing wrong. Everything is going to turn out all right. Don't be scared. God's big timepiece is ticking right along. It'll be there. It'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It was in his thinking. The thing of it is, am I in there, and are you in there? Amen. And here he was, the eternal thought of God expressed into sonship. Oh my, there was God, Emmanuel, then. Notice, then he was the Word. Amen. So we understand that before all, you know, that we were in his thinking, we were a part of him, and he thought of all things. And as I was saying, you know, that he knew that all things is going to take place. And Brother Bram says, you know, don't worry about it, because God already knew what was going to take place. And God has a great timepiece. God has a timepiece, and he already had everything worked. And so it was just going to work out just fine, just perfect. And we don't have to worry about it. All we got to do is put our confidence in him, because we don't have to know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. We know what what is going to take place. Why? Because God's going to lead us. I thank God that I can have some place to put my confidence and my trust, because there's no other place in this world to be able to have confidence when you see the world and the condition that it's in. And it's so thankful that God has given us a word in our day to tell us what's going to take place. So when people are like, my, have you ever seen anything like this before? Can you imagine such things as this? Yeah, God told us in his word it was going to take place. Yeah, we knew this was going to take place. Why? God told us it would happen this way. Why? Because he gave us eye salve to see that we would know these things. So, you know, it's just right on time. It's happening just the way it's supposed to. Thank God, but we know what's going to take place. Yeah, we might have hard times, and we might have hardships and problems, everything like that. But thank God, before all this falls apart, we're going to be out of here. Why? Because you know what? We don't have to go through the wrath of God. We don't have to go through tribulation. We're going to be out of here. There's a way of escape that's made for us. This is from the Smyrna church age. Brother Ram says, the eternal thoughts of God. He said, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal? He said, if you can see this, you can see many things. God is unchangeable and changeable in both essence and behavior. He said, we have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his ability, so therefore, he as God must be omniscient. He said, if he is omniscient, then he is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. He said, if he can add to his knowledge, then he's not omniscient. The best we could say that at sometimes he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He has never had a new thought about anything, because all of his thoughts he has always had and always will have, and knows the end from the beginning, because he is God. He said, thus the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are simply They are not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn up and which one day will be translated into substance and form, but they are already real and eternal and a part of God. So thank God that we know that his thoughts are more real than our thoughts, than anything, because that is what's going to take place. That is what's real. He said, so then he doesn't have to worry about, you know, having a second thought or having a second opinion or everything like that. He knows what's going to take place, and that's what's going to take place. And that's what we're living today. And God knew what was going to take place, knew who would be here and who would not be here. All of your problems, everything that you would take place, everything that you would do in this life. But thank God he knew that we would come and overcome. This is from John chapter 15, verses 14. Brother Brad says, or the scripture says, he said, "Ye are my friends," Jesus speaking. He said, "if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." He said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. And if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." Amen. I'm so glad to know that he called us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. Amen. And he called us to be fruitful. Amen. Well, then guess what? The scripture talks about adding to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and growing up the stature of a perfect man. And he said, if these things be in you and abound, he said, you'll not be fruitless, that you won't be without fruit. Because you know what the thing is? He's what he's called you to. And it's so amazing because many times, you know, sometimes we don't realize what God has called us to. You know, because as you know, brother, I'm talking about that little fish being in the water, and he just barely sipping on the water out there in the ocean. It's like, well, you know what? I may run out of water before too long. And not realizing the vastness of the ocean. And out there, well, you know, I don't know how long this thing's going to last. And not realizing the vastness of God's plan. Or the God's love or his provision to us. It's like, well, I don't want to bother God. You know, I don't know what to do. You know what? My kids don't mind bothering me. My kids don't bother me, you know. They don't mind whatsoever. And I can tell you what, your kids don't mind bothering you either. You know, because he said, ask and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given unto you. You know, I got my boys, you know, they don't mind. Sometimes they get on my nerves because they're being there, mama, 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 mama. And then, daddy, 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 hey, daddy, 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 daddy. Like, would you just quit saying daddy and just ask what you want? But, you know, they don't mind. And even if you get upset and you, can you be quiet? I'm trying to do something. Okay. They'll stand right there. Now, like, all right, we waited 30 seconds. Daddy, 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 daddy. And he said, if your son asks you for bread, he said, would you give him a stone? He said, if your child asks you for fish, would you give him a serpent? He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to them? In one place he said, we'll give the Holy Ghost to those that ask. So if you have a need, you have a request, then what it is, then it's like, well, I don't know. You know what? The ones that seek and press and keep pressing and keep pushing and keep clawing and whatever it takes and keep going forward. You know what? Those are the ones that can go overcome and get what they have need of. So it's not just going one time and, well, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. Well, it's the one that stays there, just like the parable of the unjust judge. You know, he said, this woman wearies me. She's there all the time. And he said, I don't want to do anything for her, but because she pesters me so much, I'm going to do something for her. I'm going to help her in her situation. Why? Because I'm tired of dealing with her. Well, see, the thing is God doesn't have that same attitude, but he has the same desire that you would seek. Because you know what? Sometimes God wants to see what you're going to do. Amen. He'll come to the place where you say, well, I didn't get it the first time. Well, you know what? I'm not going to ask anymore. Well, you know what? You're not going to get anything. Just like when the Syrophoenician woman there, you know, and you know, hey, you know, she calls out Son of David. And you know what? He said, I ain't talking to you. He don't even look in her direction. He got no business talking to her. Don't care. And then she's, you know, trying to get his attention and calling to him. He ain't listening. But then when she says, Lord, well, he turns to her. What do you want? Lord, I got a sick daughter. Lord, I want you to heal my daughter. My daughter needs to be healed. Well, let me tell you something. You know, a lot of people would get upset when Jesus said, you know, it's not meat to give the children's bread to dogs. I can't believe he said that to me. But you know what? It didn't matter what he said. All she wanted was for him to heal her daughter. It don't matter what you say, Jesus. I don't care. You can put me down. You can say, why? Because it's all true. But you know what? The dog eat of the crumbs of the master's table. That's what I want. I don't care what else. He said, if we can humble ourselves, then we'll be raised up. But the problem is we can't be humbled. Many times we allow things to get in our way and hold us back because we can't be humble. And many times, you know, things will happen, and you know people get so upset by things that have happened or things that people have said. And you know the thing is, you spend more time worried about something that's so inconsequential in the long run. Somebody will make a comment, and people will sit and dwell on it for the longest time, and it just eats them up, and it takes up all their time. Well, what do they mean by that? What do they mean by that? I can't believe they said that. And then, you know, they spend all their time worried about what that means and what somebody else says about that. I wonder if she told somebody else. And in the long run, you know, some people when they dwelled on it for the longest time and it's took up all their time and worried and they get all upset about it. You know what? Whoever said it sometimes don't even remember saying it. But you know what? We've spent all of our time wrapped up in things that don't really matter. And so, you know, but if we just stay on core, if we stay where God has us, right there, then, you know, we receive what we have need of. Amen. They just lay all these things down. I don't, you know, there's no need of carrying it around. It ain't profitable to me. It ain't profitable to you. Guess what? We're just going to lay it down. I'm just going to put it behind me. I'm not worried about it because I just can't worry about carrying on it and dealing with it. But God wants us to be what God wants us to be, to manifest. This is from the Future Home. And he says, if you've got eternal life, he said, there's only one form, that's God. And he said, you are an expressed attribute. See, he said, if you're not, You're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except my Father has drawn him. See? Which passes away all these old things, but these things don't. So it speaks of eternity. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are in eternity where you was all the time, but you've just recognized what happened. See, you were made for an eternal purpose because you was the manifestation of an attribute that was in God. That thought of you and expressed you. And he made a earth to take you out of and made you a human being. And sin come along and perverted that way, his way. You come anyhow, but you was lost with the world. So he come and redeemed you, the expressed attribute, and also redeemed this earth by the same way. Then see, his purpose rolls on. See, oh, hallelujah. Oh, that does me so good, so much good. Think of just what lays ahead. So we know that God, we're always in the mind of God. And God come across your path and you became an expressed attribute. Yes. And God always knew what you would be. But you came into this earth and through the new birth, you've come to this place to be an attribute of what God wants you to be. And so many, and it's like, well, what does God want us to be? What God leads us to. What the Word says about us. Because the Word is going to lead you. And so many, you know, people get so, upset or they get worked up about things. Just trust God. Amen. Let God lead you and He'll show you what needs to be. What God wants you to do, what God wants you to be. Many times, you know, people, they want to try to figure things out. No. Don't get ahead of God. Let God work and God do the plan. God will work the plan if we'll do our part. Why? Because it's a daily walk. And if we just walk with Him, then you know what? All things will run perfect. You know, we look, Brother Bram was speaking and he was talking about how nature, he said, nature runs in continuity. He said, nature runs in continuity with the Word of God. He said, we don't have, when He spoke and put all these things in the world in place, you know, the rotation of the earth and the earth orbit and all those type things, all the things that take place, you know, God spoke them and that was it. And well, you know, we can, and it's so perfect that when we go and look, you know, we can track the years and where all of the planets will be and all of the asteroids and all kinds of things, all the positions of all these different things in the future and in the past. We know where all these things are. Why? Because we know there's a perfect pattern to all of it. So when it all sets in, when it all is set in order, and it works in continuity, then guess what? You know, there's not one time where one year that, you know, we're a short a few days or we're a few hours over. No, it comes out every single year, 365 and a quarter, and we don't have to worry about it because nothing's out of cater. But you know what? We get so worried about trying to fit in or trying to figure things out. But you know what? If we just work in continuity with God, if we put our trust in God, then you know what? He spoke it. Then guess what? It's going to work. Then you know what? I'm not trying to figure out what I need to do. Because you know what? I'm just going to trust God. Because let God speak to me. Then it'll work exactly the way it needs to. It all works in continuity. You know, you see all these in the Scripture, in different places, you know, Brother Bram talking about how all nature and all everything works in continuity, and all things were spoken by the Word of God, and they all put in place, and they all have a purpose, and they do exactly what they're supposed to do. Yep. You know, Einstein. When Brother Bram always talks about, you know, Einstein and all of his theories and all of the things that he was able to do, and Brother Bram said if Einstein could have put the spiritual with the natural application, he said he really could have told us something. And you know what? When he began to look at all these things, and you know, and Einstein being able to see all the things that he had saw and understood, and you know, Brother Bram talking about how man had broke into God's laboratory, and you know, all the things that he could talk about, and he could see, and he, you know, brother, I'm talking about Einstein talking about the center of the universe, and you know, all the things that he could prove by science, and knew what these things were. And you know, and then when all of that was said and done, when Einstein had done all of the things that he had done and studied and wrote about and all the experiments, then when he said, how did all this come about? When one of the greatest men in the world, probably one of the smartest men in all the world, and there he stood, and he quotes Hebrews 11:3. That we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So we know that the Word of God is what brought it into pass. And all of the learning and the studying and all this type of thing, it only took one thing. It was the Word of God. That Einstein and all the things, all of the studying and all of the learning and everything, all of the experiments that he could do, it took the Word of God to put all this together. Why? Because there's nothing. He said, so that the worlds were made by things which do not appear. So all these things took place, and all the vastness and all that kind of stuff. And then the one thing that he was convinced of, that it took a creator. It took a divine power to put all this together. And then, you know, when he said all this stuff and he made all this and put it all together, and this was all of his expressed attributes, these are all each part come into place. And then here he said, let us make man in our own image. And after our likeness. So this is what God called us to be like him. Amen. To God made us. And then we wonder why, you know, then we allow the devil to hold us back. We're bound by things that the devil has allowed us to be, get in our way, when we are to be an overcomer. Amen. What God has created us to be in this divine order. If everything else runs in continuity and has a perfect place, then guess what? You and I have a perfect place also. God has called us into a perfect realm. That, you know, that we don't have to worry about what's going to take place. God's already made a way for us. This is from the seed shall not be ere with a shuck. He said, that's what the church is doing today, for Jesus is the Word, and he is the bridegroom, and the bride is a part of the groom. Therefore, the Word that is to be expressed this day is the same part of the Word that was fulfilled in his day. It's the same Word, same experience, same life. For when God separated Adam, he was both. We find out Adam was spirit to begin with. He made man in his own image, created he male and female. And then Genesis 2 and on, he created man out of the dust of the earth. Man was created in God's image. God is a spirit, so he's a spirit man. Then when he became flesh man, animal flesh on the earth, he is showing, portraying here the bride. He'd ever taken and made another thing, but he took part of Adam, the original creation, took from him a rib from his side, and took the feminine spirit out of Adam, left the masculine spirit in there, and placed it in the feminine part. Therefore, part of his spirit, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, word of his word, life of his life, and that's the way the bride is to Christ. He said that's why the rapture of the royal seed will have to come first. So we understand that when God set all this in motion, then understand that, you know, as he took from Adam, Eve was always in Adam. She was always a part of him, but it became that had to be a time to be expressed, and it was a time to be manifest. And you know, he said, but she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, life of my life. Brother Ram said, it's the same spirit. It's the same experience. And so all these parts have come together, and that is the same way with you and I, that we were always a part of him, that we come to be an expression of him. That what he is, that we express the same thing, that we make known the same thing. And you know, because if he overcame, then you know what? You and I overcome also. He said, because I overcame, he said, you will all overcome also. But God has called us to a place that we understand how these things take place and what's going to take place, how things are going to unfold. You know, speaking of Einstein and, you know, all of the great theories and the understanding that he had and all the things that he was able to do. You know, if we understand when we look, Brother Bram said the natural types, the spiritual. Yeah. When you look at the natural and you see how things work in continuity and perfect, then guess what? Then you and I are the same way. Then you know what? That's what God called us to. That God has called us, the bride is the same as him. When he began in the beginning, when he said, let there be light, you know what? He didn't have to worry if that was going to come to pass or not. He said, when he said, let there be light, he said, he believed his own word and there was light. Then, you know, he didn't have to worry if it was going to take place. Why? Because he knew it would take place. And it's the same way with you and I. You know, many times we would get in our own way sometimes, but understand that God has a way made for us. Amen. And, you know, when we look at these things, I want to share this thought with you. You know, when we talk about physics and all the things that Einstein was able to prove, and you know, there was one thing that Einstein had trouble with. And some of y'all may know more about this than I do, but I just think it's a fascinating thing. But you know, all things natural types of spiritual. And you know, Einstein and other scientists, you know, some of y'all probably know what quantum mechanics is. Well, a quantum is the smallest particle that can have an interaction with each other in space or in the world, in the universe. But anyway, in quantum mechanics, it's a understanding. You know, there was in the 20th century there were several advancements in physics. One of them was the theory of relativity, to understand how nothing travels faster than the speed of light. And you know how he said if you could travel at the speed of light, you know, Einstein said you could have two objects approaching each other and they'd go right through each other and not mess either one of them up. Right. You could pass through each other. And so there was something that took place in quantum mechanics was the other. And there was a thing that takes place with when you have two particles, and they become it. There's an interaction with these two. There's a connection that's made between these two particles, sometimes electrons or whatever. But usually it's two particles, and they have this connection that's made between them. And science calls it entanglement. And when you take these two items, these two particles, and they have this relationship and they become connected. And there's a relationship between these two particles. Then you can take one of those particles and you can move it hundreds of light years in one way, and you can put the other one hundreds of light years in the other way. And they're separated. And what blew Einstein's mind is because he's based on the theory of relativity, what they proved by relativity, that if this one's 100 miles away and that one's 100 miles away, then it would take that traveling, the light speed of light would have to travel between those two particles. But what in quantum mechanics, what they were seeing was here's a particle and here's a particle. And when one moves, this one moves. But it's instantaneous. And so here's this one, and this one is moving in complementary to this one. And as this one moves, this one moves. So if this one's up, this one's down. or vice versa. And Einstein called it spooky action at a distance. Because he's standing there thinking, if they're so far apart, then light would have to travel. How do they communicate? How is that one communicating with that one? And why is this one in complementary to that one? Niels Bohr, the Danish physicist, who we all know from the Bohr model of the atom, him and Einstein had a debate. They would debate and Niels finally told Einstein, he said, the problem is you're approaching it the wrong way. He said, when you see those two, he said, they're not two. He said, because when they become what we call entangled, he said, now you're seeing one. And he said, it doesn't matter where this one is or where this one is. This one's going to move in complementary to that one. And no matter how far apart they are, they work in continuity. And they couldn't figure that one out. And even today, Dr. Richard Feinstein, who's an American physicist, his great quote is, if you think you understand quantum mechanics, you don't understand quantum mechanics. But science, they look at something. And how in the world that two objects can be so far apart, these two particles, but they've entered into a relationship. There's something that's happened to them. And really, they don't understand how it happens, but they can look and see the effects of it. And all of a sudden Niels Bohr told Albert, he said, you're looking at it wrong. He said, that's not two objects, that's one. He said, when you see one, you see the other. And Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. And here's one and here's the other. And Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but what I see the Father do, that do the Son likewise. And so when he's seeing one and they're moving in complementary, Jesus didn't have his own thought, but he moved in complementary to the Father. And he moved and he done what the Father had for him to do. And so we see all these great things and we see how people are standing there trying to figure that one out. Why? How does that take place? He said, well, we've broken into eternity. And we're standing there looking at that. And they can't figure that out. And brothers and sisters, I want to share with you one thing tonight. If that don't stir your soul, your spoons fell out of your bowl. I may be the only person in the building that feels that way, but I do. But why? Because, you know, that proves God. And here's the bride in Christ as one. When he said, you see one, you've seen the other. In the book of Revelation, you don't see one without the other. And so here's one, and he's like, here's the other. And science is trying to figure out how did that work. Why? Because it's one. It's God. As it works as one. And he said, don't you understand that when you move and you walk and the things that you do and all the things that you do, that's the expression of the attributes of God. When you understand who you are, what God's called you to. You're not just, when you understand, you know, I'm not the son of Dale and Diane Roberts. But I'm a son of God. Then I understand that, you know, where I come from, and that's where I'm going. Then you know what God has called me to is to see where I came from. And then you know what? I work in continuity with him. I'm working complementary with him. The word has come to me to make the word manifest. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the believer. Then you know what? You and I are that expressed attribute of Jesus, of God. That's who you are. And see, the devil doesn't want you to know that. But you know, science is up there still trying to figure out all these things. But you know what? He said, and all their learning, they become fools. Why? Because they can't understand. Brother Bram said they walk over grass. They don't understand how it comes. They don't understand the life in the grass, but they walk over it. And all of their study, and then they stand up and say, there is no God. And the science proves, and all the things that we've seen, it proves the existence of God. It shows these things. And he said the natural types of spiritual. You know, we may not understand everything, but you know what? God has called us to be the same thing. You are a part of Him. To walk in complementary, to walk as He walks, to move as He walks. Then when he says, God has no hands but your hands, and God has no mouth but your mouth. He has no lips but your lips. Then to understand what God has called you and I to realize who we are. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stay and have the musicians come. Do we know the song? He's here. Elijah's God. He's here. Elijah's God is here. Y'all know. He's here. Elijah's God is in our hearts today. He's here to will and do whatever we say. Behold the bride of Christ in full array. He's here. Elijah's God is here. He's here. Elijah's God is in our hearts today. He's here to will and do whatever we say. Behold the bride of Christ in full array. He's here. Elijah's God is here. He's here, Elijah's God is in our hearts today. He's here to will and do whatever we say. Behold the bride of Christ in full array. He's here, Elijah's God is here. She walks in step with the revealed word of the hour. She talks and demons flee before His mighty power. Behold the bride of Christ in full array. He's here, Elijah's God is here. He's here, Elijah's God is in our hearts today. He's here to will and do whatever we say. Behold the bride of Christ in full array. He's here, Elijah's God is here. Amen. 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 Just like Elisha following Elijah. That mantle fell upon Elisha. So where is the God of Elijah? He knew it was on him. He come to him. Where is the God of William Branham? He's here. You know, he's not somewhere else. He didn't leave. But He come to each one of us. He's here.
Right. That's right.
I because the word came to me. The prophet brought the word to me. He's come to me. And I love that song. She walks in step with the revealed word of the hour. Well, sometimes you may not feel like it. You may not look like it. But you know what? You're moving in the word of God. Because that's thus saith the Lord. That's what God has said about you. And to speak, because He said to speak, He said, if you say unto this mountain, so that's your, He gave us the word to speak. That's our commission. And he'll do what we ask. And when we understand that we are a part of him, then you know what? We're not just speaking anything, but you know what? We're speaking the word of God because we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We'll have another song before we go.
About bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Be flat.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, give you praise, you are the light, the truth, the your name, I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name.
We bless your name.
I bless your name. We bless your name. I give you
bless you tonight. Got any announcements?
Saturday, this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock, if anybody wants to come up here and pray, we're going to start having a prayer night like once a month. And so if anybody wants to come up here Saturday, it's not, you don't have to. And it's not required, but I'm going to come up here at 7 o'clock, open the door, turn the music on. If you want to come in here and pray for about an hour, we'll come up here. I'm going to do it, so you can if you want to. Like I said, you do it if you wish.
Okay.
Saturday night, prayer meeting, 7 o'clock.
All right. So, 7 o'clock, if you want to come and pray, the church will be open. And so we just pray and then look forward to Sunday.
Pray for the meeting coming up.
Yes, and the meeting coming up. Remember all the those that are traveling and everybody, get all the things ready and make sure we try to find places for everybody. And we're looking forward to a good time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank the Lord for
you pray today about this stone that's in the back. It's a calcium stone, I believe, in that case. And it's stuck. I figured it doesn't move for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Boyd wants us to pray. He's got this stone. And We're going to pray to get this thing out of there. I've had one in my lifetime, and that was one too many. If you ever had one, you never want another one. I told him I got rid of that one. I had to have mine busted up. I told him I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But you know what? God take care of it. So we're going to pray, and let's all pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we lay hands on our brother, Lord Jesus. Lord, your word says, if there's any afflicted, let him pray. And Father, we know that our brothers prayed about this, and we're praying with him. Lord, we're joining our faith with him, Lord. Father, you said that if we agree on anything, touching any one thing, Lord, that you would come and accomplish it and finish, that you would do it, Lord. And we just believe that you'll do it and you'll take care of it. And Father, we know that no matter what the doctors say, Lord, and no matter how bad it may be or whatever, Lord, it's nothing to you. And so we have joined our faith with him, and we'll know that you'll take care of it, Lord. Lord, that it'll just disappear. Lord, you will come, and Lord, it'll just be a perfect healing in his body, Lord Jesus. He won't have any more pain or discomfort with it, Lord Jesus, that it'll just go on. Lord, because, Lord, you created the body, and Lord, all the things that go wrong in our bodies, Lord Jesus, you're the great physician. Lord, no matter what the doctors have to do, Lord, you always do it right. And we just know that you'll just take care of this, and Lord, and bless each one. Lord, and we know that you do it. We thank you for it, Lord, because we give you praise and thanks for it, because we know it's the finished work of Calvary. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, let's just all bow our heads, and we'll pray before we dismiss. And just appreciate each one of you, and thank the Lord for all his blessings on us. Amen. Let's just all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so, Lord, thankful, Lord, we've been in your presence tonight in your house, Lord, together with your precious people, Lord Jesus. And Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we've had the opportunity, Lord, to look into your word, Lord, to read your word. And Lord, just what a blessed people we are to realize who we are. Lord, that we can look into your word and to see that, Lord, that you want us to realize who we are, and you speak to us and want us to be encouraged and uplifted and edified by your word, Lord. Lord, that no matter what the battle comes against us, Lord, we're greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, for each one they travel tonight, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'll be with them, have your hand upon them. Lord, for each one that'll be going through the week, the different things, Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them, those that need a touch from you, Lord. Father, we know that you've already sent your word and you've healed them. And Lord, we know that we just claim it and believe that all things will work out. And Father, we just pray that you'll just watch over us and bless us. And Lord, bring us back at the appointed time, Lord. And we just pray that you bless our brother Wade, Lord, as he comes to bring the word to us. And we just pray that you just strengthen his body and, Lord, just anoint him mightily and anoint our ears and our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. We just commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. Dismissed.
I bless your name. I bless your name.